Last week, who was our speaker? Anybody remember who spoke? Jorge Wong, right. Jorge, and he spoke about, in the beginning, where he started from is the fact of he had learned much in his life about things of the Word. His parents encouraged that, and he was out to many of the meetings, and yet it wasn't until he was at the age of 17 that he realized what? That he was a sinner. And so from that start, I'd like to continue on with the thought. Who knows the memory verse? I'm sure many do. Who would like to quote it? Romans 3:23. Okay, so there's a number saying it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we just think of that one verse. We may take the thought that, well, I started off good, just something went wrong, something went bad. Is that what that verse is saying? Well, other portions of Scripture would indicate that that's not really the case. We started off bad, and we continue to do bad things, and yet the world's trying to do good things. And so it's not that we were good and become bad, but we were bad right from the start, and yet we're trying to do good things, and yet we wonder why we fail. So not just from Romans 3:23, but from other verses is strongly the indication that we are not somebody that's gone bad after being good. I need one person that would like to help me out this morning, if they would. Oh, Millie's volunteering, right? Jim, all right. He can grab that table over there and bring the table up to start with there. To start with, I'd like to take and have us see the light. That would be our goal. So, Jim, if you want to take and plug this thing in down there, I think it'll reach. If it doesn't, we'll move the table.
See, but will it reach?
Or is there one?
No, it's under here.
I know.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Let me go over
here. Okay. Wherever it can reach there.
Okay, with it then?
Yep. Okay, the goal is to see the light. Okay, flip the switch on there, Jim, and help that other one over there. See if the light works there. Oh, light doesn't work. Well, what might be the trouble?
Fuse bulb.
Well, a light bulb, that's what we would probably, most of us, try. And I didn't bring any extra bulbs, so I don't know what we're going to do, but thinking about what could be the problem, list the things that could be the problem. No power from down over there.
Switch.
The switch there. The other switch. Bad what? Bad wiring. Thing does work, and you can pull the plug in there, so we don't get.
Right.
That's it. Real simple here. The thing is that there could be many problems in this simple little thing of just trying to light a light bulb. We could have the breaker off, so we don't have any juice going into the plug down there. There could be something wrong with the plug, as you said. The wiring could be bad. The switch could be bad. In fact, the switch is it sounded pretty good here, you know. It's not even hooked up. And it really is broke. So that one doesn't work at all. That switch over there works, but Maybe the bulb is bad. Maybe that socket's bad. You know, sometimes the socket goes bad. So, and just a simple little thing, I tried to show that there's a lot of different things that could be a problem and cause a problem. And that's sort of like how the world is. As they look at their life, as they look at different things, they realize that there's many different problems out there, and they can see the effects of the problems. They can see with the drugs. They can see with other things. And you can go on a list of a mile long. You can see the different problems. But what really is the problem for this here? What was really the problem? Huh? Yeah, a secret switch. This is what I almost missed myself. I kept thinking about these different things that I told you, but the real problem was there was no electricity. That's the overall. So if there's no electricity for the switch, if there's no electricity for the plug, if there's no electricity for the base, none of that's going to work. So if you don't get the electricity, you're not going to see the light. And just like that for the world, you can look at all these different problems and say, well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe I need to do better morals. And then we talk and spend some time talking about character building. And the world has their own approach to these different things. The real problem is sin. And many people either don't see that, or if they know that there's sin, they don't want to believe that, and they keep trying other things. And so this is an illustration to go on the fact to take and say, we need to realize that we are sinners, just like Jorge. He had to come to that conclusion that we are a sinner. And when we see that, that's very important. It's very difficult, though. I'd like a couple people to read a few verses for us. I'll just give you the verses. Somebody can do them, and then I'll ask for them. The first one is 1 Corinthians 2:14. The second one? Okay, well, they have 1 Corinthians 1:20. And then the last one that I have is 1 Corinthians 3:19. Okay, who's got 1 Corinthians 1:20? Somebody got that? Okay, Jim Lehman's got that one. So here's three verses as we take and consider the fact that we're sinners. It's like we have two strikes against us. You know, we always talk about, well, I got two strikes against me. And yet, all this is in the terms of foolishness. Listen to the first verse of 1 Corinthians 2:14.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Okay, so the first strike is we're a natural man. We're not spiritual. We don't have any desire to learn about God. We're not spiritually discerned. We're the things that it says, for they are foolishness unto the person. So that's the one strike. The next two verses talk about the next strike that we have, and the first verse is 1 Corinthians 1:20. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:19.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God, for it is written, you take it the wise in your own craftiness.
Okay, the first strike against us is that we're in the natural man. We're in the flesh. We're born of the flesh. The second strike is our wisdom that we have, as great as it may be, is foolishness in God's sight. And so we have these two strikes against us, and it really puts us in a bad position. And overall, we're sinners, and you know, we try to avoid that. We try to go around that idea. And so as Jorge spoke about the fact that he was a sinner, realize that's a very important thing to take and realize in the beginning, that we're sinners. Turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very interesting what we had for our worship time this morning. And so some of the thoughts, again, will be made mention that this was one portion that was mentioned about. I'd like to just read through this next section here as we talk about sinners with regards to three areas here. 1 Corinthians 15 and starting at verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So if he's not risen, he is not. If there's no resurrection, he's not risen, number one. Their preaching is in vain, number two. Their faith is in vain, number three. And fourth, yea, we are found false witnesses of God, number four. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. We already talked about that. There's four things that if there is no resurrection, there's four things that you can take from that. He emphasizes again, your faith is in vain. But he adds to this, you are yet in your sins. If we realize that we're sinners, what do we do for the problem? We are yet in our sins. If there is no resurrection, we still have that problem. That's the root cause that people don't want to recognize, our sins. And yet, if there's no resurrection, you are yet in your sins. Furthermore, it goes on to say, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable. So without the resurrection taking place, because we are sinners, we are yet in our sins, and we are of all men the most miserable. Do you see many miserable people out there? Well, they might not admit to the fact, but in many cases, as they look for a solution to things in life, as I said, like this illustration of the show, there's many things that they look at and say, well, maybe this is a problem, maybe this is the problem, and maybe this could be the solution, maybe this could be the solution. But they need to take and see the fact that the sin is the root cause, and then what is the solution? Now, again, sometimes people don't want to accept the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is that solution. So without the resurrection taking place, we have this problem. And so we already know that Christ has died. This has taken place way in Corinthians here. And that's the first aspect about the resurrection with regards to sinners. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, if you will. Matthew chapter 26 for the next point. And again, it was good that we had this portion of Scripture in our worship time. And so without reading the whole thing, there's just the three verses that I want to take and pick out. Matthew 26 and verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." You could think of this as perhaps good intentions at this point. Let's continue on at verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And then the third time, verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And so if you didn't know that Christ was going to die, if you didn't know what was going to happen in the Scriptures, you could say, if you knew his thoughts, these are really pretty good intentions here that he had. Not my will, but your will. I'm going to take and drink the cup so that thy will can be done. And he says the same words again. And so we can look at this as maybe some really strong and good intentions. Turn over to verse 51 now of Matthew 26. The right one. Might help if I get in 26. Okay, Matthew 26 and 51. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Who was that? It was Peter. You can get that from the Gospel of John. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" And so he tells Peter, I can pray to the Father and have 12 legions. And at this time, how big was a legion? Anybody know? Huh? About 3,000 to 6,000, they say. So if there's 12 of them, that's 36,000 to 72,000 men that right now that he could call and call upon to handle this little skirmish here that's going on with these people that are coming out. So certainly he would have had the upper hand. And so he could have done that. So let's say he's already said he's got good intentions. He's going to do the Father's will. He goes to the cross, and there he starts to die. And then he says, I'm going to call it quits. I'm going to leave. We talked about this morning the agony that Christ went through on the cross. He could have said, I'm not going to go through with this. I realize that many people aren't going to accept my salvation, so why should I bother with this? And where does that leave us if he did that? Lost and still in our sins. We're sinners. Again, we realize that we were sinners. And because of that, if he decided to take it at the cross, said, I'm not going through with it all the way, I'm out of here, we're still in our sins, and we still have the problem. John chapter 6, for the third possibility here. And beginning later on in the chapter, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And so all that he talked about before, I don't know exactly what they meant by a hard saying. I didn't study that part of it, so maybe that's something you want to look into. But why is what he said a hard saying for them? So there's more study that you could do there. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And we'll just stop there for a moment at that verse there. That's an important verse there. What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? We're talking about him going up. How did he go up? He didn't use an airplane. He just went up into the air. And so really at that time, airplanes weren't there. And so by just going up, that would be a tremendous miracle, because man has always sort of had this desire to fly. And so would that be the miracle that they would need for them to take and build? Would they have to see him fly away before they would actually take and believe on him? He already had done some miracles before in John there. So do they need this huge miracle so that they can take and believe on him? Hold your finger here and turn over to John chapter 11, a story that you're very familiar with. And we'll break into verse 45 of John chapter 11. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And so as a result of Lazarus being resurrected, there was many that believed on him. But then we notice, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. Some of them went their ways. So here, even with this great miracle of Lazarus being resurrected, some of them still went their ways to the Pharisees. And told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doth many miracles. And so they were aware of what he had been doing. And again, notice, as you probably have in the past, verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And so despite all these miracles, even this great miracle of somebody coming back from the dead, which nobody was able to do then, before, or since, and yet they didn't believe on him. And so even if there was a huge miracle, it always seems like there's going to be those that won't believe on him. So what does it take to take and and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For people, well, first of all, as I said, you have to realize that you're a sinner. And then after realizing you're a sinner, okay, I have a problem. What's the solution? Well, then we might try to do our own solutions, and we find that those fail. And we go through a long period of time, perhaps, before we realize, like the song, "And Can It Be," that it's through Him that our salvation exists. Go back to John chapter 6, to that verse again, verse 62. "What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where He was before?" Well, so what was Christ asking them at that point? Really, what was the point? We've already looked at, after the cross, after He died, the portion in 1 Corinthians about the resurrection. If there was no resurrection, we're still in our sins. We looked at and thought about the fact that as He was dying, He had good intentions to die. If He decided to quit, we are still in our sins. And I think He was, to me, sort of asking, as I thought about this, that if I leave right now, not that you see this great miracle of me flying away, where are you? If I do not die, if I'm not buried, if I do not raise again, if I don't have to come back to life, you're still in your sins. So no matter where you want to look at the point of the fact of before the resurrection or before His death on the cross or after, if there is no resurrection or if I leave any time before that, we're still in our sins, and that's how severe the problem is. We are still in our sins, and there is no solution. And so to me, this was a tremendous thing. I could leave right now. Forget about me dying. Forget about me being buried. Forget about me being resurrected. I could go right now. And what happened to these people? Well, let's continue on right there and read a little bit further there. "It is the Spirit that giveth life," in verse 63. "The flesh profiteth nothing." So here's the, as He talks about the fact that the natural man, and there's no profit in it. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." And He told them that. "You believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him." And so He already knew that, and He tells them that. "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except that were given unto him by of my Father." The natural man has no desire to take and be involved with the spiritual things. They don't even want to look at the fact that they're sinners and that they have a problem, and the solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 66, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." And so even at this point, and throughout His time on earth, many people believed, many others didn't. Would it take a great miracle for people to believe? Well, even with the resurrection of Lazarus, they still didn't believe. What does it take for you to take and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, many here have. Maybe there are some that haven't. You need to take and realize that you're a sinner, first of all, that you have a problem, a major problem, and that if Christ never rose, we have a major problem because there is no solution. There is no other way that we can have salvation. But the portion that Jim referred to this morning in 1 Corinthians 15 is, "But now is Christ risen." And so He did take and He didn't say, "I'm leaving right now," like in John 6. He stayed. He went to the cross and died. He didn't take and say, "I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave." He went through that death. He was buried. And He rose again from the grave. And so He's alive. And therefore, because of that, we have eternal life if we put our faith and trust. We have a solution to that fact that we're a sinner. And we have a way to take and follow after Him. Many of us, as I said, have believed that and gone through that. And as we meet each Sunday morning, are thankful and tell them the Lord so at the Lord's Supper, a time to remember Him. And so we've settled the fact that we're a sinner and that He's the solution and that we believe that. But now what? let's take a look at verse 67 of John 6 here. Or verse 66 again. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Unto the 12 now. The others were other people. They called them disciples. But these were the 12. Will you also go away? What kind of a question was he asking them? Again, I'm the solution. Will you also go away? Another way to ask that is, what are you searching for? If I'm not the solution, are you going to leave as well? Are you going to go someplace else and try to find something else as the answer for your life? As I said, many of us have accepted the Lord. We realize that we're sinners. We realize that he died for us, that he was buried and he rose again. We believe that and trust in that, and we believe that we have eternal life. But until that time that he comes back again, what are we searching for? Will we also go away and looking for something else that we think may satisfy us? And so that's the question I would like to leave to those that are believers this morning. What are you searching for? May you find your answer in the things of the Word of God as he presents himself in many, many different ways, in many different ways. Jorge went on to say that as a result of being down to camp, he thought about, and we could turn to that. Let's turn to the 1 Corinthians there as he went on to talk. First Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth on it. And so he was thinking about that verse in camp, and was thinking about his life. He realized that he was a sinner finally. He had accepted it. But now how was he building on that foundation that was laid? And so perhaps, again, the idea is, what are we searching for? And as I've looked at some of the different power papers over the last several weeks there was many of the different people that were all searching for something. But they didn't know where to find it, and eventually they turned to the Lord. But each one of the stories is basically dealing with the fact of their search and finding what the answer is. For this one particular person, I'm just going to read just a small part of it. This is from July the 6th on the story from a person from India. I can't even begin to pronounce his name here. But I shared this with some of those that were in the high school class the other week there. But this person had studied the ways of Indian scripture, and so he had spent a lot of time. He was a very studious person, and so he had a lot of all of that information under his system. But he still didn't. He was questioned about the fact about the Bible and the fact that he didn't know English. And so the one person agreed to teach him English if he would go through it with about using the Bible as the way of learning English. And so he goes on to say, as I learned to read, in 8 months I read the New Testament 9 times because I just could not believe what I read. And that's, to me, an amazing feat. 8 months, read the New Testament 9 times. So there's a little bit of a challenge for you. He goes on to say, you see, being from an Eastern background, I believe that in order for something to be spiritual, it had to be mystical. You have to stand on one leg for 12 years before you are enlightened, or sleep on a bed of nails for 20 years. That was kind of his background and thinking. All his studying. And so as he was reading this, he just was having a tough time believing what the Bible had to say. In fact, he goes on and says to this person, no, tell me what I have to do to obtain salvation, what I have to do. And the person responds, you don't have to do nothing. Just pray in the name of Jesus. Ask him to be your Savior from your sins, and you have it. He goes on to say, it can't be. If things were so simple and so easy, why doesn't the whole world believe in this? I want to know whether this book is really true. Can you give me a little bit about the history of this book? And so he took and read. He gave him Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and that's a pretty deep study. And yet, And so he had all this behind him. And he still says, I still could not believe the gospel stories were true. I went home still wrestling with the matter. An inner voice was saying, you have heard about Jesus Christ. You have studied about him. You even understand about him. You have investigated thoroughly. Now what are you going to do with him? That was the inner voice. He says, I know that I only had two choices, receive him or reject him. Nobody was forcing me. I had to make up my own mind about what I was going to do. And so after having all this information, I thought again of Jorge, having all the information that he had to take, and again, this is what I'm thankful for Sunday school. We have the different teachers, and they spend a long time preparing the stuff and giving out the information. And so years later, sometimes some of that comes back and helps people to take and come back to the Lord, the things that they've learned in Sunday school or from someplace else. But it takes a long time because of that search that we're going through. What are we searching for? Will we leave also? Most of us are going through some sort of a search, some kind of a search to find something that fulfills what we're looking for. And we try all these different things. And Solomon says everything is vanity. He's already tried all these different things. And yet we still try the different things, and perhaps we'll come back to the point and realize that only Christ can satisfy it in the deepest way. Just as this person became saved from the story there. But the idea again for believers, what are you searching for? May you find it in the things of God's Word. Charlie, would you just like to close our time in prayer this morning, please?